Good morning, everyone. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ as we gather to worship on this first Sunday of January. And it's Epiphany Sunday. Technically, it's not. Technically, this is the baptism of Christ. But since Epiphany was yesterday, we're going to celebrate it today. So we'll have the traditional readings that you're accustomed to seeing. So we're glad you're here. And as you see, we're going to do communion as well and installation of the leadership team in the service. I was running up on the thing with liturgists. If you're interested in maybe assisting as Tom is today, please let us know in the office. We're going to try and get a schedule together on a quarterly basis for folks to assist in worship. There's an envelope, talks about some offering that's going to happen. Kyle's going to be coming up at Mission Moment and talk more in detail about that. Lunch Bunch is this Wednesday for those who are attending. Please note that. If you haven't started reading the Carrie Ten Boom book, the book club is coming up at the end of the month. One of the things we started with Kelly and I, we were talking, she decided that we would do, because in some other churches, we list the birthdays for the month in the visitor, but sometimes we forget weekly, so we've put these in to add. So we're playing catch up here a little bit, and then we'll be on time. You'll notice that today is Tim Kennedy's birthday. Don't look at me like that, Tim. You came on your birthday. I'm appreciative you showed up. Gave me some time today. We get to celebrate. So when you see him, make sure you wish him a happy birthday today as well. You may have noticed, I don't know how you all come into church, which way you come to be here, but if you came past, you'll notice the sign is on. Don't hold your breath yet, because we're still playing with it, so it may be off. Sometimes we're still working to get the things worked out, so it is in progress, so hopefully we'll have it up, and we'll take care of that. So please keep note, you'll notice it when you come by. We're seeing how we can do that and keep the lights down a little dimmer for the neighborhood in the evening and then up during the day. So once we get that figured out, we'll let you know when it's operational. Are there any other announcements for the good of the community? Nobody behind me? If not, let us open our minds and hearts in an attitude that allows God's Spirit to move among us as we prepare to worship God this day.
Good morning. All who are able are welcome to stand as we join together with the call to worship responsibly. Arise, shine with your light, for your light has come, and the glory of God has risen upon you.
We who have lived in a shadow world have seen God's revelation in Jesus.
Lift up your eyes and see. God's light dwells in you, and others see it.
Our hearts rejoice in the opportunity to witness to what we have heard and observed.
Gather then as apostles and prophets, stewards of the mystery of Christ.
We have seen a star and come to worship.
May your awareness, responsiveness, and reverence be strengthened in our time together.
We will search diligently and listen carefully for all that God would reveal to us.
Let us worship our God. Please join me in a prayer of adoration and confession. We thank you, O God, for the privilege of coming to see you in prayer. We honor and praise you for your love and power and mercy. Bless us with wisdom for the days ahead and the years to come, that we might move in the direction you would have us move. Help us to meet the challenges of each moment with grace and compassion. Open the ears of our hearts that we might hear your voice clearly. Listen with eagerness and respond with complete trust. May we create the spaces in our day to pray, to meditate on your word, and to seek your presence lest we lose our way. We confess, O God, that we want to go our own way. We prefer to listen to our own voices instead of yours. We confess our need for power and our unwillingness to submit yourselves to you. It feels good to do things your way, to think we cause our own success, and to believe our power is an end unto itself. Forgive us and help us have a more humble spirit. We know that your wisdom is better than ours. Your direction for us will lead to better destiny. Help us to have more desire and commitment to receiving the grace and wisdom of your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, the one whose path we follow. Amen.
Hear the good news. The secret has been revealed. The gospel makes everyone, Jew and Gentile, joint heirs for the promise made in Christ Jesus. Dearly beloved, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven now and forever. Amen.
Seated. Our first scripture lesson this morning is from the major prophets, Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord had risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried in a nurse's arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Our second scripture lesson for this morning is from the letters of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has been now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am very least all of the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles in the news of the boundless riches of Christ and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the wisdom of God in its rich variety may now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This is in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access in boldness and confidence through faith in him. May God add his blessings to the hearing, reading, and understanding of his holy word.
Oh,
As we come to our gospel lesson this morning, it's our traditional one as we've been hearing all morning in liturgy and the children's message. It's from the second chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. It's the first 12 verses, and it's the story of the visit of the wise men according to Matthew. And as you may or may not know, this is the only place in Scripture where it shows up. So listen to Matthew's words. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And so, calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet." And the prophet says, "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." And then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. And then opening their treasure chest, they offer him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of the Holy Word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I ran across a story that I want to share with you. It's where I'm going to interlace the sermon with it. But it's a story about a famous monastery. It was a place where priests lived together, and they had fallen on hard times. And it used to be filled, all the buildings, with young priests and monks, and the church would resound with the music of the chants, and now it was deserted. And a handful of monks would shuffle through the cloisters, and they would praise their God with heavy hearts. On the edge of the monastery, an old Jewish rabbi had built a hut in the woods, and he would come there from time to time to fast and to pray. And no one ever spoke with him, but whenever he appeared, they would talk about one another, and they would say, "The rabbi walks in the woods." So one day, the head of the monastery, the abbey, he went to decide he was going to go visit the rabbi and to open his heart about these conditions that were going on at the monastery, and wanted to seek the rabbi's advice. So the rabbi welcomes him into his little hut, and in the middle of the hut, there is a table, a wooden table, and on it is a Bible, open on it. And so the two men came in, and they sat on either side of the table. Nothing was said. They just sat there looking at the Bible. And after some time, the rabbi says, "You have come to ask a teaching from me. And I will give you a teaching, and you can only say it once. And after that, no one must ever say it again." And the rabbi looks straight at the abbot, and he says, "The Messiah, the Christ, is among you." And they sat there in silence some more. And then the rabbi said, "You need to go." And the abbot left without a word and never looked back. Today we heard this story from the gospel that the Magi come from the east. They followed a star. They were setting out in search of the king born of the Jews, and so that they might worship or adore him. So the star leads them to Jerusalem, as we heard, and to King Herod and the people in the city. And they're troubled because they hear this word that there's child was born to be the king of Israel. And of course, politically, Herod didn't want to hear that. So he calls together his religious leaders, and he wants to know what they know, and where he is to be born in particular. And of course, the leaders reply according to the words that we heard, "From Bethlehem shall come a ruler who will govern my people Israel." So it's written in the scripture. So when Herod hears that the Magi have arrived in Jerusalem, he wants to have a meeting with them. But if you'll notice, if you go back and read it, he secretly invites them to come. And he talks with them about what it is. And he says, "Well, when you find him and you know where he is, you tell me that I too may come and worship him." Now, in the story, the abbot returns back to the monastery. And the next morning, he calls all the monks and the friars together. And he says he received a message from the rabbi that walks in the woods. And he tells them all the particulars that he can only say it once. We can never repeat it again. He goes through all of those things. And he says, "So the rabbi said that the Messiah, the Christ, is among you." And the monks looked at each other, and they were startled, to say the least. And they said, "Well, what does that mean? Is it Brother Mark? Is it Friar John? Is it Thomas? Who is it? Who is it among us? What does it mean? Could I be the Messiah?" And so there was this conversation like that. I think when I first saw the story, it was like, could that be me? What does that mean? What does the birth of the Christ child mean to us? The birth of Christ is nothing like it seemed to King Herod. He had, as we know, no intentions to worship this new king. If you read beyond the passage I read and further on in chapter 2, and that's not part of the lectionary readings this year, but he goes, and it's the slaying of the infants. So when Herod figures out how old he is, any child from that time down, they went ahead and began to slay. And so he wasn't really looking to worship, he was working to get rid of him. But are we inclined to follow the footsteps of the Magi? I mean, we all had that feeling when we were here a couple weeks ago, the feeling of excitement. We gathered together to celebrate the birth of Jesus into the world. Has that sort of got pushed in the back and fallen to the wayside and pushed away a little bit because I got other things to do? And are we as excited today to be here in this place, to acknowledge the presence of God's Spirit, as we were on Christmas Eve night? Are we as excited as the Magi were to bring those gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh? I don't know, I've been doing this for 40 years, and Christmas Eve is always a great night, you know, but it is a one-time deal sometimes. And we forget that it goes all year long, that we're to hear. And so then there's a song that says, "Where, oh, where might the Christ child be?" And that's sort of what I'm asking today. So in the story, the monks then were puzzled by this teaching that the Messiah, the Christ, could or is among them. How do they understand that? So as time went by, they began to treat one another with a very special reverence. They began to look at each other in a different way. There became a gentle, caring quality about them that you couldn't describe, but you noticed was going on. And then the church began to resound with the sound of the chant. There were more people coming. People came to be nourished by the prayer life of these particular monks. And they were deeply moved, visitors were, by what they saw and they heard and what they particularly sensed in that space. A change came over the monks when they believed that Messiah the Christ was among them. I wonder if the Magi were changed. Scripture always baffles me, and this text is just like any other. I'd like to know, what happened to the Magi? Where did they go? Did they go home? I'm assuming they went home. Were they changed? And if they were, how were they changed? Did they share what happened with others? I would think they're not the same. I would hope. I would hope that they would treat each other with a special reverence, as in the story of the monks. That they would have looked at each other differently and shared with others in their journey back east to where they came from. And that they keep telling the story. One of the things when I was in seminary is that we were taught that we needed to start looking at each other like that. I've been trying to do that my whole career. I will fully admit there are some people in my life that I have trouble liking. But somehow in that person there is Christ, because that's what I believe. And it's hard for us to keep that image in front of us all the time. But we just celebrated this birth. This is the last day the church is decorated. We take these down in the context of the church calendar year, because now we're moving into the season of Epiphany, and then we'll be moving into Lent. And so we are still celebrating this. The 6th is the 12th day of Christmas. The Christmas season didn't end just because we had Christmas Eve service, like people outside here and the retailers told us it is. I can't find Christmas music on the radio anymore, you know, that kind of thing. But do we see Christ in each other? When we look at one another, do we see that the image of Christ may be present? So my question is, did you receive Christ for Christmas? And I've shared this with some people. One of the things that I lament is that, you know, and I do that in every congregation I've served in the last 8 years since I've been doing this thing that I do, not being a called and installed pastor, is, and that happened this morning, the lack of young people in our church. So Christmas Eve, so the Advent candle lighting ceremony here is ritual for you. And so I had two of the young ladies who had participated in that over the years, who were liturgists with me on the 17th and the 24th. And as they sat where Tom's sitting right now, I watched them. They knew all the words. They knew exactly what was going on. It was still part of their psyche, being here at the church. So Ralph comes up to me on Christmas Eve night and says, I need 10 ushers, Marty, to serve communion. And I go, not my job. You know, my job's to run the table. Your job is to serve here. So I'm doing the Apostles' Creed. I'm looking out to the aisle. I see all these heads, and they come forward when I say the gifts of God for the people of God, our things are now ready, and they march in, and here come these young women that I've met tangentially through my time with you, two that I know more personally because they helped me. They all looked at me and winked. Made my day. Because they were willing to help. And they were here, and it was important. And so I got to see a little bit of Christ in them that moment. How do you see Jesus in your life? How do you experience Christ? We have all experienced the gift. Do you see it? Amen. I'm going to invite those who are able to please stand as we join together in singing our hymn, number 234, Wise Men, They Came to Look for Wisdom. If you looked at the liturgy, you know I'm going to make you stand one more time. But we're going to install the new leadership team. So this is a responsive call installation. You are all the bolded print. Affirmation of ministry is the act whereby a local church of the United Church of Christ recognizes the diverse gifts of its members and celebrates the particular ministry of each person in the life of the church or in various settings in the life of the world. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the same God is served. There are different abilities to perform service, but the same God gives ability to each of us for our particular service. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all. Christ is like a single body, which has many parts. It is still one body, even though it is made up of different parts. If one part of the body suffers, all the others suffer with it. If one part is praised, all the other parts share in its happiness. All of us are Christ's body, and each is a part of it. I call forward now the 2024 leadership team. I'd ask you to please come forward. Kyle Taylor, Pat Goines, Vicki Kennedy, Laura Haas, and in absentia is Dave Stan. He and Diane are on a cruise. We should do this on the ship. Yes, we should be on the ship. Why don't you face them? There you go. These people have been called by God in accordance with the faith and order of this church to serve among us. They have accepted their call and are before us in witness to their willingness to serve. To the leadership team. Sisters and brothers, this congregation is entrusting to you a special and sacred responsibility. Those whom God summons, persons like you, with differing gifts and ways of serving God. Each one is given a gift by the Spirit to use for the common good. Together, we are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Remember the words of our Lord. Whoever among you wants to be great must become the servants of all. Having prayerfully considered the duties and responsibilities of your ministry, are you prepared to serve with the help of God in Christ's name and for the glory of God?
Amen.
Do you thoughtfully and sincerely accept your individual responsibilities? And will you seek under God's guidance to fulfill them, to serve with energy, imagination, and love, showing forth the love Christ has given you?
I will rely on God's grace.
There's not only responsibility of leadership, but also of the fellowship. May each one here resolve to do their utmost to bring the rule of love into the church and our community. Members of this household of faith, you've heard the promises of our brothers and sisters in Christ who have answered God's call to service. Let us affirm our intention to live in covenant with them. Will those who are able please rise and let us witness to the commitment we now make together. We do. We stand in celebration of the joy that is ours to be partners with you in the service of Jesus Christ. We promise to love you, to honor your leadership, and assist you that together we may be a faithful community of Jesus Christ. In accordance with the faith and order of this church, I'm going to extend to you the right hand of Christian fellowship, and the people of God will respond saying,
Thanks be to God.
Are there any joys and concerns to be brought forth to this community of faith this morning? If not, continue as we look in the bulletin for our homebound members, the birthdays that are listed there as well, and the situations that we pray for throughout the world, wherever they are. Karen Leiden was supposed wanted to have to be with us today. She texted me. She's recovering from her spinal surgery. She texted me and says, the brain says yes. The next says no. So she'll hope to be with us next Sunday. Again, also for the leadership team I just installed and the work that we plan on doing in this congregation in this coming year. And as we talk about that, I'm not quite sure what my role will be with you in this new year. We'll be figuring that out. And so prayers as we move forward to see what we can do and to be as a community of faith here. So as we gather to pray this day, let us open our minds and hearts and allow that Spirit to move among us.
Almighty and holy God, we are in a new year, a new starting point. And yet we've only been into this new year for about a week. And sometimes we look at ourselves and think we're just the same as we always were. We're frail and we're needy in spirit. And we need to know your presence among us. So we pray your spirit to infuse within us, that we might receive that spirit that gives us power for living and power for sharing and power to be. And so we seek your presence as the Magi sought the presence of Jesus. So as we journey through this season of Epiphany, O God, let us remember that the gospel is for all the world and for all the people. And may we begin with ourselves and try to understand who we are and how we function in this world, that we might go out into the world renewed and reaffirmed, and to know that we can share with others. We lift situations and individuals in prayer each week, O God, but there are so many that lay upon our hearts and our minds. And so we pray for all of them this day, to remember that there are others who may be in a similar situation. There are those we don't even know who are alone and lonely or grieving or celebrating or just being about living, but need to know your presence. We especially ask your help for those who are weak and sick and in need of your presence and guidance. So as we gather together this day to worship, O God, we pray your spirit to be with us. We will be drawn together as we gather about the table. May that spirit that we feel and share during that time permeate us and allow us to go forth filled with that presence. So we offer this prayer, O God, in Jesus' name, with the prayer that he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. As we begin the new year, I thought it would be the perfect time for us to start fresh and work on some new mission moments throughout the church to continue working on our vision of to be his light that transforms lives. So you will see that as we will be doing new activities to working helping others in the local community, and we can use the help from everyone in the congregation. To start things off, we wanted to do a special offering to honor the life and legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. As you may know, Martin Luther King Jr. Day is next Monday, January 15th. A way to help celebrate and honor the legacy of Dr. King is to perform an act of service to help individuals who need support and may be facing a form of injustice. Many of you know that Dr. King advocated for equality, love, and helping others, so we may all have a successful life. Therefore, we wanted to collect a special offering to help an organization that works at improving the lives of others and promoting equality within our local region. It was decided that we would help an organization in our own backyard, which is the Brighton Center. The Brighton Center works to promote the lives of individuals by working with them to help them secure jobs, housing, food, and any financial assistance, just to name a few of the services they perform. These acts reflect some of the ideals Dr. King advocated for, which is one of the reasons this organization was selected for this moment. You will find a special envelope in your bulletin this week, which I'm holding up here for us, located in one of the pages of your bulletin. I ask that you take this home, consider what you can give, and bring it back next week to be placed in the offering plate during worship service. This, in part, will be your act of service to help promote the lives of individuals facing difficulty and struggle. You, in turn, will be a part of a group of individuals working together to achieve Dr. King's vision and mission. Again, thank you for your consideration for this special event.
The wondrous works of God are more than we can number. God has blessed us far beyond our ability to name the gifts. In our baptism, God has called us to a life of witnessing. Let us glorify God through deeds of light and through words that have blessed and healed. May our offerings reach out around the world in Christ's name. The ushers may come forward.
Thank you.
Please join me in our prayer of dedication. Eternal God, you have called your people from the east and west and north and south to feast at the table of Jesus Christ. We thank you for Christ's presence and for the spiritual food of Christ's body and blood. By the power of your Holy Spirit, keep us faithful to your will. Go with us to our homes and to our places of labor and leisure, that whether we are gathered or scattered, may we be the servant church of the servant Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. As we get ready to come to the table, please stay standing and let us affirm our faith. Why don't we use the words of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the one holy universal Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. It is right and good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. And before the mountains were brought forth or you had formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness. You brought life forth upon the earth. You formed us in your image and you breathed into us the breath of life. And when we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself, our light and our salvation. You sent a star to guide wise men to where the Christ was born. And in your signs and witnesses in every age and throughout all the world, you have led your people from far places to his light. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, as he gathered with the disciples, he took the bread. And after he given thanks to God, he broke it. He said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup. And after he gave thanks to God, he said, "This cup is a new covenant of my blood shed for you and many for the remission of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's sacrifice and offering for us. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them for us be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through him, in him, and with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come, all things are now ready. This is the body of Christ. Take and eat. This cup is the new covenant given to us by Jesus Christ that we might have life eternal and freedom from our sins. My friends, take and drink. I would invite those who are able to please stand and let us join together in our prayer of thanksgiving and stay standing for our closing hymn. Let us pray together. Oh God of light, we thank you for the brightness of your countenance shining in the face of Jesus. As we depart from this table, may Christ's light so shine through us that others may see our good works and give you glory. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we begin a new year together in worship, gather about the table, been challenged about how we see Christ in the world. So as you journey this week, continue to look around you. Do you see Christ in each other? Do we see Christ in ourselves? Do we understand the presence? It's something I think we work on our entire lives. There's no ending to this. It's every day, every moment. But continue to search for Jesus in your life. So until we meet again, let us go in the name of God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us go in peace. Amen.